Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Really tough thinking about the Pamela Scott staff who were told that news yesterday, and it's a really tough day for Richard Barron, and I know you were listening to him, but sitting here with him you could see it etched in his face. Now, one of the trends of this pandemic has seen many of us head back into our kitchens, brushing up on our culinary skills. And what many of us really want to master are a few reliable baking recipes. Isn't that what the whole banana bread thing was about? We want simple things like a fail-safe recipe for brown bread that's better than the one that your granny made, or the sponge cake that avoids all the pitfalls, including sinking and the dreaded soggy bottom. Well, to talk all things basic and baking, I'm joined now on the line by Dorina Allen from the Ballymaloe Cookery School. Dorina, hello, good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
I'm so happy to have this conversation with you, because I'm not interested in any of the fancy stuff. We just want to talk about the nice, simple stuff that we can get right. Before I ask you about that, though, and about baking, we were talking to Richard Barron about his business. He had some really bad news for his staff yesterday. How are things going for you on the business front and the cookery school side of things?
Oh, thank you very much. We're exhausted from keeping every finger and toe crossed, but the school, Ballymaloe Cookery School, is in the fourth week of a 12-week certificate course at the moment. And with much reduced numbers, of course. We're also actually starting to do Ballymaloe Cookery School online and streaming courses as well. So there's a whole raft of those coming up too. So far, so good. And Ballymaloe House then at the moment, of course, normally for the last number of months, I've been open from Wednesday until Sunday after lunch. But just at the moment, just on Friday night and on Saturday night, and that'll be for a few weeks.
Okay.
Then obviously people have to stay, otherwise they can't. Only the guests can actually eat and so on. So it's a really trying time for everybody, which we're keeping our fingers and toes crossed.
Absolutely.
Please God, everybody's being really careful and, you know, doing our very best.
I can imagine. Okay, well, let's talk baking then, because the first thing we need to get right is our equipment. Now, do you think we need fancy things in the kitchen in order to bake properly?
Totally not, but you need a bit of basic kitchen kit, because if you decide you want to make a few scones or a sponge cake or something, you need a couple of tins and so on. So I sent you, actually, it'll be up online, a basic kitchen kit. Now, baking, actually, unlike some of the other things, is an actual exact science, and that's not to put anybody off, but it means it's really, really important to measure carefully. So you want a decent scales and, you know, some measuring spoons. A nice big mixing bowl as well is always good. And, you know, a pastry brush, a measure. You know, it's not a huge amount of stuff. You need a couple of basic tins that you can make a couple of cakes in. Say, you might have a Swiss roll tin as well that you could do tray bakes on. And maybe cupcakes and a muffin tin. So that'll get you started.
Okay.
And again, buy each thing, if you can, as good quality as possible, so you never ever have to replace it. You know what I mean?
Can I add my own piece of advice here? If you're going to make the Victoria sponge, make sure you have two tins the same size. Not like in my house.
Well, now, Claire, you're a suitable case for treatment. All right.
I really am. Will you talk to me about the food mixer or the food processor? I use a hand mixer. Do you think we need a fancy...
Well, now, Christmas is coming up. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm a totally anti-gadget person, as everybody down here knows. So I'm talking about those bits of essential equipment. But there are two bits of more expensive equipment that are really worth the money if you can manage them or get a present of them. One of them is a good food mixer, and I'm talking about a standalone. I mean, the handheld ones are fine, but they give you a bit of a headache sometimes. And a food processor there's a sort of overlap in what they do, but they do different things. And my goodness, does it put the joy back into baking.
Okay.
And it means that, you know, really busy people can make, for example, I sent you there an all-in-one sponge, a lovely sponge cake that you can adapt with all different icings and fillings. And if you put the whole lot of the ingredients into a food processor, nice soft butter with all the other ingredients, whiz bang, into the tin, and then you can put whatever icing you want. So, Claire, you'd be delighted with that now if you make that cake.
Sounds nice and handy. You talked to us about the brown soda bread loaf, because is. Yeah. This is actually something that I do get right because my mother had a great recipe, but we all need a fail-safe recipe for brown bread.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you now, talking about basic kitchen kit, the other thing that's absolutely essential is recipes that actually work. A lot of the time, people, particularly beginners, blame themselves if they do something and it doesn't work, and often it's actually the recipe. So that's really important. So there's two kinds of soda bread. Obviously, it can be white or brown, but also there's a sort of one where you just put everything into the bowl, stir it around with your hand or a wooden spoon or something, and just put it straight into an oiled tin. And the other one then is a traditional, more traditional, where you make the dough and then you form it into a round, cut a deep cross, which is the traditional blessing, and then you have to prick it in the four corners to let the fairies out of the bread. Otherwise, the fairies will jinx the bread for you. But the recipe I've sent you there is a basic brown soda bread that you'd bake in a tin, in a loaf tin, and you can either make one one tin, or you could make three small little loaves out of the same quantity.
Okay, well, we'll put those up on our website and on social media as well. But you say a basic tip is mix all the dry ingredients together in a bowl, mix them all together, and then pop in all of the wet ingredients.
Yeah, exactly. Just you can stir it with a wooden spoon, but I actually really love... Now, there's two things here, Claire. One is important thing is to have a nice, big, wide bowl so that you can mix it easily and you're not all scrunched up. Because if you're scrunched up, if you feel uncomfortable, you're unlikely to do such a good job. So you could mix it with a wooden spoon. And remember, for soda bread, it's bicarbonate of soda is the raising agent, not baking powder. Baking powder is for cakes. Bicarbonate of soda, bread soda, is for soda bread because that reacts with the acid in the sour milk or the buttermilk. And so stir it on. But I love to do it with my hand. I hold the side of the bowl and then I pour in the buttermilk into the centre and make my hand into a sort of claw and then stir in a full circular movement from the centre to the outside of the bowl. That takes 10 seconds into your tin, into the oven, and anybody could do that. And also it's really great to have the kids, if you have kids around, show them how to do it, get them to mix it. Because honest to goodness, what are we like during the pandemic and during that snow a couple of years ago when people were literally pulling loaves of sliced pan from each other in the supermarkets rather than actually, you know, even though there was flour and buttermilk a few shelves away.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we need to upscale this little. And, you know, funny, I've been making bread all of my adult life and a lot of my childhood. And every time I take a loaf of bread out of the oven, I get a whoops in my tummy. You know, it's such a basic thing and such an important basic to have really nourishing and good.
What's the whoops in your tummy? You're afraid that it's wrong, or you're delighted?
No, it's just a little flutter of excitement when you see a lovely loaf of bread coming out of the oven. And here at the cooking school, where oftentimes people are baking their first loaf of bread for the first time, oh my goodness, you can't imagine the look of delight and satisfaction on their faces when they bake their first loaf of bread. It's like catching your first fish, you know.
Do you ever buy a sliced pan, Dorina?
Do you know, I don't buy sliced pan. I haven't bought sliced pan for maybe 20, 25 years. I just want bread that's made out of flour, salt, and either buttermilk or yeast or something. I don't want something with a whole lot of tons of extra additives. And a lot of the time, with something like the very squishy sliced pan, there are lots and lots of additives in those that some of them don't even have to be on the label because they're actually classed as processing aids. So that's a whole other thing. So the bread is a staple, and you and I both agree, I'm sure, that it should be really nourishing and delicious. I mean, sourdough is a different matter altogether. It takes much longer to make, but everybody really should, it's a terrible world, but ought to be able to make a little loaf of soda bread for their family, and because it only takes minutes to make. And if you make the traditional one, actually, you can also make little scones. They take 10 minutes in the oven and you wouldn't have found your car keys and be back from the village.
Oh, yes, and you have this here, actually. What are your top tips for scones, as I would say, scones, as you would say?
One or the other. Now, they can be either sweet or savoury, of course. And again, nice big bowl. And again, always with baking, the best ingredients. So good eggs, good butter. Always use butter, of course, because it might as well be delicious and good for you. So with the rubbing in the butter, the recipe I've sent you is actually, for it makes about 9 or 10 scones. The butter needs to be, it needs to be quite cool for this. You can cut it up into little cubes. Or do you know something? This is another little tip. If you have a box grater, which costs tuppence halfpenny, and great for grating cheese and that kind of thing, on the coarse part of the grater, just grate the hard butter into the flour, and then it's much easier and quicker to rub it in. And then make sure your oven is fully preheated ahead of time. You can make plain scones, or you can add all kinds of fancy fruit or dried cherries or blueberries or blackberries or anything to it at this time of the year. And then make the other thing that's important, Claire, with making scones is to flatten it out to the right thickness. If it's too thin, it'll be all crust and not enough lovely crumb inside. Mm-hmm. If it's too thick, very often they rise too high, they topple over, and sometimes they're not quite cooked in the centre. They should cook for exactly 10 minutes, and that would be in an oven. Preheat, make sure the oven is fully preheated, 250 centigrade, 10 minutes out of the oven, and oh!
Delicious, with real
delicious butter. Exactly.
Victoria sponge, I just want to touch on Victoria sponge, because yes, it can be tricky to get right. Now, you probably think I'm being ridiculous saying that, but they can be tricky. There's a good few things can go wrong.
Yeah. Again, fully preheat the oven. Have the butter quite soft to start off with here. And if you're doing it by hand, nice wide bowl, cream the butter until it's really soft, then beat in the sugar well until it's light and creamy. Beat in the eggs one by one, and then just stir in the flour slowly. You can beat like mad up to the flour stage, but then stir in the flour and the baking powder slowly. Otherwise, you'll toughen it and it'll be quite a dense texture if you decide to beat it at that stage. And then the other thing is, don't, you know, look at your recipe, and if it says 20, 25 minutes or whatever, you're dividing it into two tins there probably, and then bake for, say, 20 minutes approximately. Well, look, ovens vary a bit, so maybe have a look at it about 18, 19 minutes, but don't open the oven too early, otherwise it'll sink disappointingly in the middle on you.
Yeah, I hate that. That's awful when that happens. And you try and hide it then by putting loads of jam and cream on it, but you never get over it because you know yourself it's sunk in the middle.
Yeah, and then you need to know how to judge when it's actually cooked. So there's a couple of things to look out for. One, it'll be shrinking in a little bit from the sides of the tin. If you press it at the edge, close to the edge of the tin, and then press it in the centre, the texture should be the same. And because if the dint of your finger still stays in the centre, then it's not cooked. And of course, the other thing is, you can put a little tip of a knife or a skewer, if you have one, into it, pull it out, and it should be completely clean. There should be no little crumbs or anything sticking to it.
Dorina, we've got to leave it there. It's such a pleasure, as always, to talk to you. Dorina Allen from the Ballymaloe Cookery School.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.